Job is one of those iconic figures. He's one that even if people know very little about the Bible or the Old Testament, they seem to bring him up as a reference. He becomes the icon of those who suffer unjustly or had to deal with plagues and problems for no particular reason. So if you are unfamiliar with the book of Job and the character of Job, he was a good and faithful man who offered sacrifices all the time, did everything that was right, followed God's commands absolutely perfectly, and then lost absolutely everything, except for his wife. He lost absolutely everything but his wife. And so here he is, destitute, poor, everything's gone, his family's dead, and he goes, why? Why did this happen? He becomes a figure for us in many important ways. He iconicizes the idea of suffering. Why do we suffer? Why is there pain in the world? Why do we struggle the way we do? And if you continue to read through the book of Job, you'll get no fun answer. He continues, and God comes and challenges him as Job is trying to figure this out. I did what you told me. Why am I suffering? And God said, the answer is because I do what I do. And that's about it. But nevertheless, in the midst of the struggles that Job has, and as he comments on it today, his suffering does lead to something. It's not just an end point where it's like God does what God wants. Instead, when he gets through all the challenges and finally comes to the conclusion of the book, we realize that Job had a profound encounter with God in the end. All of his suffering led to some great conclusion at the very end. He got everything back doublefold, but more than anything else, he saw God for the first time. Job's challenge is not lost on us. We have the same challenge today. There are so many people who are suffering today, and there's so many different ways we can engage suffering. But the question is, what do we do with it? How do we understand it? Where is God inviting us in the midst of the suffering? On one level, we can go to other traditions who also try to describe it, such as the Buddhist tradition that says, suffering's just there. You're not going to escape it, just deal with it. Not very helpful and kind of crass, but I put it in a crass way. Or Judaism, which is, their main point is, you suffer because you didn't follow God's laws. Not very helpful either. Christianity has a different way of understanding suffering. Suffering is not so much this thing we escape, or this thing that we just ignore, or a thing that's just always caused by us. Suffering is a reality that we have a challenge to join with Christ in bringing salvation to the world. Suffering has a good at its core, something that leads us to something greater. And so today I want to help you reflect on the various sufferings of the world so you can find a way to engage it and bring good out of it. The first type of suffering I want to explore is social suffering. I think we are all very well aware of this one. Whether it be political unrest, challenges within our country, wars throughout the world, insurrections, problems on cultural levels, there is just so much I could add to this category. And the fact is we get overwhelmed by it, which gives us two possible conclusions. One, we ignore it and move on and go, well, I can't deal with this, so I'm just going to ignore it all. That doesn't help anything. Or we take the other route where we get really angry because we feel like there should be a solution. Why are we not working towards something good? And then we just get irate and we get upset and the whole cycle continues again. Yet, as we look through these things, especially with Job, we get a new feel of what social suffering is for. Social suffering reminds us it takes work to reach something good. If you want a way to explore this on a spiritual level, look at the Station of the Cross. Each one is an example of the ill that Jesus endured because of social suffering. Whether it was unjust condemnation, whether it was a wrongful trial, whether it was the people who harassed him, all of it was the problems of the ill of the world being laid upon him. How did he react? The best reaction we can look at to explain this is when he's on the cross. He said to the man next to him, who was condemned justly, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think we often don't see those words come to fruition in our lives and our world. I need to pray for these people. I need to take a good look at what's going on and find the good in it. I need to continue to bring good into the world. That's our call as Christians. We're not there to just ignore it and be like, oh, well, not my problem. It is our problem because we are Christian, because Jesus suffered and died for us, because there's new life in the world. Our job is to pray and pray for these things in the world and continue to work towards that goodness. That's why there's social suffering, to remind ourselves that goodness takes work, to remind ourselves that God's always there. He's always at the core of it, guiding us, strengthening us, pushing us to remind ourselves all things will be summed up in God in the end, and He will take care of everything eventually. The second type of suffering is physical suffering, and many of us are in this camp. I think almost everyone today has some sort of physical, mental, or medical issue that they're suffering through. Very few people are like fully healthy today, which is kind of sad when you think about it that way. But nevertheless, it brings in the beautiful passage from today's gospel. Here we have Jesus entering the land of Capernaum. And as he enters, Simon and Andrew say, "Our mother-in-law is sick, come help." So he comes. Jesus came in the midst of this medical issues of Simon's mother-in-law. And I want to picture this for us because it's kind of hard. When we think of a fever, we think, oh, take a Tylenol, you'll be fine by morning. This is not the case for the first century. A fever could easily be deadly because they had no way to deal with them. They had no way to bring the fever down. And if it got too high, the person died. That's just how it works. So this is a very serious situation. Notice what Jesus does. He comes into the house. He comes to her, grasps her by the hand, and lifts her up. These three actions are critical. Jesus doesn't ignore us in our suffering. He's not like, when you feel better, come find me, I'll be there. No, he wants to be in the midst of our physical ailments. He wants to be there in our challenges. He wants to journey with us in our suffering. He doesn't want to leave us alone, because that's the moment we realize how much we really need him. I can't do it. I need God. But it's not just that. Look at the beautiful, intimate imagery we have with Simon's mother-in-law. He grasps her by the hand. That's how close he is to her. It's not like, okay, I'm going to stay a distance away and see if you're healed and see what happens. No, he comes into her presence, grabs her by the hand, and not just that, lifts her up. The value of physical or medical suffering is not that it causes us challenges, but that it helps us experience the joy of the resurrection. That's what Simon's mother-in-law experienced. She wasn't just there to be healed. She got to experience the joy of the resurrection. She got to feel what new life feels like when Jesus grasps her by the hand and lifts her up. Same thing works for us. When we work through the challenges of any kind of medical or physical ailment and really allow God into our lives, let him be our healing, let him be our consolation, let him be our joy, we then, through that, get to experience what the joy of the resurrection will be like. Simon's mother-in-law was much the same. Notice the last detail. After Jesus had lifted her up, sign of the resurrection, she waited on them. Now that's the last thing we think of today when someone gets healed. We don't think, hey, now that you're healed, feed us. But this is a clear sign in the New Testament. Whenever we hear walks around, waits on, or feeds, it's all imagery of the resurrection. She's not just healed, she's full of life. This is her gratitude back to God for her healing. She wants to give back in thanksgiving for this wonderful experience she just had of God's incredible mercy. Same thing for us. When we have that moment of either peace or tranquility in the midst of our challenges, we return that gift of thanksgiving back to God, who has given us a sign of the resurrection. The last form of suffering I want to talk about is spiritual suffering. We often don't talk about this because we like to ignore it and think it doesn't actually exist. But nevertheless, Jesus in today's gospel brings it to its fore. Notice that he didn't heal a whole lot of people in today's gospel, but he cast out a lot of demons. It was mentioned twice in today's gospel. So there's a lot of spiritual ills going around in the first century world as well. Same thing today. So much of our spiritual ills focus on lots of different elements. There's so many parts to it, whether it be lack of trust in God, whether it be challenges with our own mental or spiritual issues, such as temptations and struggles there, whether it be lack of faith, whether it be commitment to God. All these things are spiritual struggles. And even if we can't name them, they're there. They challenge us because we know at the core of who we are, we want God. We desire him. We have a hope for him. We want that sense that he will take control of our lives and lead us to new life. But yet all those things in the world start to get in the way, and they start to challenge us and tempt us and move us different directions. So we have to be able to be real with our spiritual suffering. When things aren't the way they need to be, We're not following God's commands. We're not doing what he asks of us. We have that hole in our lives where it's not being filled by God. It gives us an existential crisis or a challenge to the core of who we are. It's time to do some work. Now, there's lots of ways to look at this one. Jesus is the prime example. His entire route to the cross was an example of him opening himself up more and more fully to God as the things of the world came upon him. So in this way, the stations of the cross become a great example to us as each of them characterize some of the ways we can suffer. I encourage you that if you want to engage this more fully, find a station you identify with. It'll teach you that character of your heart that's being challenged, that way in which God's inviting you to new life and encouraging you to come seek him more fully. Don't be afraid of it. It gives you new life. It's exciting. All these people with the demons cast out of them roamed around proclaiming what God had done. They were excited. We can be too. The suffering of the world is not there to bring us down. It's actually there to lift us up. Because the Christian message is, in the midst of our suffering, we encounter God. Even more adamantly, when we allow ourselves to engage the suffering of the world, we come to experience the cross in its fullness, which then allows us to experience the joy of the resurrection. We have to wander through the sufferings so that we can experience the joy of the resurrection. We have to realize that the things of the world will challenge our priorities, our conceptions of the world, so that we may be true to what's good and right, and choose what's good and holy, that we may live well. That's the goal of it. So don't be afraid. Let yourself engage this. Let yourself feel the pain of the world, that you may identify with the crucified Lord, and then come to know his resurrection.